Aloha and ta'alofa to you. Welcome to the Ohana Podcast. My name is Lima and I am your host. Thank you everyone for supporting the Scattered Abroad Network and also for tuning in on the Ohana Podcast. As mentioned in our first episode this year, our focus is on the theme, growing our Ohana. In other words, we are focused on the topic of evangelism. It is important that we as Christians, as the church collective, that we take the good news of Jesus Christ to the world. If we remember our marching orders from our Lord and Savior Jesus in Matthew 28, verse 18, we read Jesus saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." We are commanded by our Lord to be evangelistic. And if you want to be like Jesus, you will be evangelistic. Now, understanding that the work of evangelism, there's different levels. Take, for example, there's the personal level, that is, as individuals in our lives, we should think evangelistically in our day-to-day activity at work, at a public place, wherever we find ourselves, there has to be that thought in the back of our minds that whatever we do, we should have an evangelistic approach in what we do. Like, take for example, in your job, you want to be a good example at work. You want to be on time. You don't want to be late. You never want to do something at work or to be poor example of Christ at work. Same thing goes with being out on the public roads or wherever you find yourself. You always got to remember that people are watching you, that on a personal level, you should be evangelizing through the way you live your life, through the words you choose to communicate with others, through the way you dress, through everything about your being. You got to think about what Paul said in Galatians 2:20. "I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life that I now live," right? Paul says that this life that he lives in the flesh, he lives through the faith of the Son of God who loved him and gave himself for him. And we have to have that mindset. My life now as a child of God, every aspect of my life, every day of my life, there has to be this personal mindset of evangelism, that everything I do has a purpose. The way I live has a purpose because somebody is watching me, right? I think about what Paul said, you know, in his letter to the Corinthians, when he said that they were like epistles, right? That's what the Apostle Paul, "For you are our epistles, known and read by all men." What is that saying? That on a personal level, when men look at Christians, when men look at us individually, also as a church collective, when men look at us, they should see Christ. They should see the love that we have for our Lord. John chapter 13, and we read that Jesus said that in John 13, verse 34, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So people are always watching. So that would be the first a level of evangelism. It's on a personal level, that the gospel of Christ is now my gospel. The Apostle Paul talked that way in one of his letters, that it is not Paul's own gospel, but it's the message of Christ is his message. The life of Christ is his life, right? And so on a personal level, we ought to be evangelistic. But then there's the collective level that is the church. And this is so important, and it is, and this is so powerful to see the church work together to win a soul. It is very rewarding, is very encouraging. The church was designed this way. When Jesus said to the disciples, in the parallel passage, Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, he says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be condemned." That's to the church. That's our marching orders in evangelism. And so every work that we do as a congregation must have an evangelistic approach to it. You take, for example, your VBSs, various things like a senior banquet is what we do here. Every event, a ladies' day, a men's day, whatever event the church hosts, turn that event into an evangelistic event, a marriage seminar. You know how many people out there in the world that are looking for good, sound marriage counseling or marriage teachings? There's so many growing up in this world, seeing poor examples of marriage, poor examples of, of husband and wives out there. But what about in the church, right? So if we have like an event for married couples, we need to go all out in those events, and thinking evangelistically. Can the church still benefit from a marriage event that is evangelistic in its goal? Yes, because you still teach the truth about marriage. You're still encouraging the brethren, but at the same time, you have used this opportunity to bring people to see what real marriage is like. And I'm telling you, a lot of people are hungry for biblical knowledge about marriage. A lot of people are waking up because what they see out there in the world is not what they want. What they want is in Christ. And so, as the church collective, it is so important in evangelism for us individuals to recognize our abilities, right? Our abilities. And this is so important in congregational approach in evangelism. Not everyone is to be an evangelist. Not everyone. There's a reason why the Bible highlights and separates these individuals in the Word. If you go with me to Ephesians 4, and you'll notice that in Ephesians 4, the Apostle Paul talks about this, how it's so important for us to recognize leadership, to recognize offices, to recognize abilities and talents, right? When we look at Ephesians 4, I want us to notice verse 11. Beginning in verse 11, the Apostle Paul wrote this, and he himself gave some to be apostles. Notice, not all should be apostles. Some prophets, not all should be prophets. Some evangelists. This is so important. This is so important. If you're a preacher, I want you to listen up. I've learned this in my few years in preaching that, when you go to the scriptures about evangelism, not everyone is gonna be an evangelist. Not every person in the church is gonna be that person that meets with a stranger or someone or study the Bible with other people. Not everyone in the church has that strength. And there's a reason why the Apostle Paul mentioned this, right? He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints. So the evangelists, the prophets, the apostles, the elders and teachers, they have a job to do, and their job is to lead spiritually. Their job is to equip the saints to do the work. Now, what would be the work of ministry? Well, that covers evangelism, that covers edification and encouragement, that covers benevolence, right? And so we all work together because we all do the work of evangelism. Churches, if you're listening to this and you're part of the leadership in your congregation, you have to understand that evangelism is not just the work of the preacher. Or if you're a church member and you're listening to this, you have to understand that evangelism is not just the work of the leaders, the preachers, elders, and deacons. Evangelism is your work. Evangelism is our work. Evangelism is the church's work. And everybody has a part to play. And in our congregation, my part is I'm the evangelist. I'm the one who sits with people and study the Bible with them and teach them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I have a family in Christ in our congregation, Rod and Susan Bumanglak and Rochelle Bumanglak, their family, they came to me and they offered their ability. And their ability is, Lima, we can pay for the meals that you have with visitors. And that's their work in evangelism, right? That's their strong, that is their strength. And all of that helps in winning souls. I tell you, so many people I had lunch with, paid for by Susan and her family, that have obeyed the gospel. Because through that meal, I'm able to conversate and get to know people. Through that meal, at the end of the meal, I get to schedule the Bible studies with them, having developed and having gained a rapport with them. And so you got to recognize who is talented in what areas, and as leaders, you have to place them in those areas. We have people that are great at greeting visitors. I have not met a visitor, a repeated visitor that has come to me and complained about not being about the church not being friendly and not being welcoming. Our greeters, they welcome people. They go up and greet them. They go out of their way to make them feel welcome. And sometimes one of our greeters, Auntie Ginger, she would come to me as the preacher. She would come to me and say, "Hey, this young man or this person is new. It's their first time visiting with us. And guess what I'm gonna do? Right after the service, I'm gonna make sure I greet them and get to know them." So you have greeters, you have people that provide meals or pay for those meals, you have people that write cards. Everyone has a role to play in evangelism. Don't forget, you have people that are like Barnabas, that are encouragers. And we have families in the church that are like that. Couples that are like that. Take for example, in our congregation, I think about Yona and Bernice. They're always so encouraging to new members. They go out of their way to introduce themselves, to get to know them. They're fresh out of the waters of baptism. They don't know anybody in the congregation. Evangelism doesn't stop at baptism. Jesus said, "You go and make disciples, baptizing," right? You teach them, you baptize them, and you keep on teaching them. Not too long ago, our congregation graduated our second new converts class. And one member came to me. He was visiting. He's a member of the body, but he's been visiting for a couple of months now. He came up to me and he said, "Wow, when I saw the new converts class go up, I felt like, man, that's the whole church going up." He recognized that all of our new converts, they're plugged in. They're already serving somewhere. They're already leading somewhere. They're greeters. They serve on the Lord's Supper. They participate in worship. These are things that are included in the work of evangelism, right? And it's so important as a church, as leaders, especially leaders in the congregation, it's so important to know your flock, to know who what their strengths are, to know where to utilize their strength in the work of the church. I think about 1 Peter. Verse 4 or chapter 4 and verse 11, Peter wrote, if anyone speaks, let him speak as of the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. All right, so you have those different levels of evangelism. You have the personal level of evangelism. You have the congregational level of evangelism, where everyone plays a part. But here's the third one. You have the family level of evangelism. Yes, family units. Family units. It's so important for the men, the dads, well, not just the men, but mom and dad, the family level of evangelism. This is about your children. That's the family level of evangelism. My wife, she understands this very well. Athena understands this, that her mission field as a mom is her children. And that's our mission field. She understands this because while I'm busy working, while I'm busy wearing multiple hats as a preacher and whatever hats I wear throughout the week, she's at home homeschooling our kids. And we choose homeschooling because we understand the type of influence that is out there in the world. We just don't want our children to be exposed to that influence if and when they are not ready to stand ground, when they don't have a solid foundation. And you know, this is not to knock the parents that do use public school. Not everyone can work from home, especially in Hawaii. Not everyone can homeschool their kids because Hawaii is so expensive, and a lot of families, both parents are working. But back to our thought of family, the third level there of evangelism is the family unit. Mom and dads, raise your children to be soul winners. Raise your children to be soul winners. And there are various levels to get there, right? The first level is you be a good example to your children in faith. Do not do this to your children. Don't do a disservice to them, that you only put on your best face, if you will, on Sunday and Wednesday. Parents, the going to church should not be so different from being at home. Who you are as a parent at home should be who you are as a parent at church, right? That you are a Christian regardless of the day and the time. And parents, that's the first step. We have to be good examples to our children of what it means to be a Christian. The second step is that we have to be intentional and to teach our children the word of God. Right, we have to be intentional about that. Have Bible times at night with them. Make sure to check on what they're learning from Bible class. Sometimes, as parents, we have been too reliant. Right, we have relied too much on the Bible classes on Sunday, and we think that would be enough to get them grounded. If you think that's enough to get your children grounded in Christ, you are mistaken. You have to teach them at home. Deuteronomy chapter 6 comes to mind. I know that's under the Old Testament, and I know that was Moses to the children of Israel, but we are the children of God. And in principle, parents, we need to be doing this. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 6, and let's just begin from verse 5, right? This is part of the Shema, but in verse 5, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You hear that? That is what God expected the Jewish parent to do. That they were to be diligent in teaching their children. Let's be honest, parents. we're not as diligent as we should be. But let's do that because we have a mission field. Our children are a mission field. And we start by being good examples. We then transition to teaching them the word of God. And then we help them through life, make biblical knowledge a practical thing for them. When they have a problem, say to them, well, let's go to this book, chapter, and verse. Let's talk about what you're dealing with because you want them at the end of the day, you want them to have this mindset. The answers are in God's word. The answers are in God's word. Lay that foundation. And evangelism starts at home. I'm so encouraged by this young brother. You probably know him, a young man by the name of Jedediah Phillips. I was so encouraged to meet Jedediah. He's been on the island for a while. And the thing about Jedediah is he's very young, very young. When I met him, I think he was 18 or 19 years old, very young. But because he had a very good godly rearing, at that age, he was very mature, very mature. And he had great knowledge of the Word of God. Not just that, he had courage to talk to others about God, about Christ. And in the time that he has been here on the island, he has led several souls to Christ. He has studied with them. He has spent time and made sacrifices to teach the Bible to members of his platoon. So much so that the first person that was converted was one of his superior, one of his sergeants, Jesse. And Jedediah converted Jesse, and Jesse was baptized here in the church. And I know Jedediah is the way he is because of his parents, because his parents taught him the word of God. All right, because mom and dad understood that evangelism and the third level has to do with the family unit, that evangelism involves teaching their kids the word of God. Now look at Jedediah for an example. He was raised in a Christian home. He was taught by parents who understood evangelism, who understood that they want their children to be focused on the mission of God. And then you have this young man come out here to Hawaii and leading souls to Christ. That's what I want for my children. Now they're still very young, but that's where the evangelism is as well. Evangelism is not just, something that we do without any plans. It's important for congregations, for individuals, for family units to be engaged in evangelism, to be intentional about evangelism. And those are the three levels of evangelism. You have the personal level, that is how I live my life, how I present myself out in the public as a Christian because people are watching me. Wherever I go, I will be a Christian. I will be the light of this world. I will be the salt of this world. That's the personal level. Then you have the congregational level. God's troop mobilized the church, starting from the leaders. If your leaders are not mindful of evangelism, if they are not engaged in the work of the church, don't expect the rest of the congregation to engage. It starts with the leaders, the pastors, the elders, the shepherds, the evangelists. It starts with leadership, right? And understand to make every event of the church an evangelistic opportunity to utilize the troops of Christ in the body. What are their strengths? Know who is good at what and put them in those positions so they can serve the Lord. And last but not least, the third level of evangelism is the family unit, right? Raising those children to be future soldiers of Christ. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this episode has been encouraging to you. God bless you and looking forward to the next episode.